On the Bechdelcast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdelcast.
Hi, and welcome to the Bechdelcast. My name is Caitlin Durante. Ooh, I had to throw in my last name.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know.
I'm not going to give any of my names. We're only allowed to have two, and you just used
I took them both.
Both of them on yourself.
Sorry.
I'm whomever you want me to be. I'm more of an idea.
You're just a floating orb of essence.
That would be really nice. It sounds very low maintenance.
Oh, yeah. You would never have to shower.
Oh, here's what I'll do. My name's Jamie Bethany Loftus.
Whoa.
Full name it. Bethany Loftus. No one likes that. No one likes
you. You like
Bethany.
Triple out down in the wild. On that.
Boom, boom, boom. Jamie Bethany Loftus.
Should I reveal my middle name?
Yeah, I guess to get us back on the even playing field.
Yeah, we got everything. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
My name is Caitlin Marie Durante.
I know. But thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel like Marie is like a go-to middle name.
Yeah. My parents are not original.
Marie Anne is just sort of like a little connector piece.
Yeah. Lynn. Someone thought my middle name was Lynn, and I was like, you think my name is Caitlin Lynn Durante?
There was a brief period of time when I was very young where I wanted to go by Jamie Beth because of Lori Beth Denberg, who was on All That.
Oh.
And she was my favorite cast member. And I'm like, I want to be Jamie Beth Loftus so I can be a little bit closer to Lori Beth Denberg. But yeah, it didn't stick. Bethany's also a miscarriage of my mom's. My brother and I both have miscarriage middle names.
It's oh, I remember this. Dark. I know this bit. You have a bit about it you do for stand-up.
Yeah, it's a little fictional, the bit, but the middle name thing is true. She's like, well, if it doesn't work first time around, I'm gonna kick it in the middle of the next one. So they're never comfortable with their middle name ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was contemplating whether or not to reveal something about my mother.
Ooh.
Which... I mean, do stand-up material on this as well, so I don't think it would be a big deal.
Okay.
Although she did ask me to never tell anyone.
Wait a second.
Well, then I was like, Mom, I wrote a really funny stand-up bit about it. Can I tell everyone the thing you told me not to tell anybody? And she's like, okay. So
that's really nice.
Let me preface this by saying that my mom is a great lady, and I love her a lot. Shout out to Lori. My mom had two abortions before I was born.
Oh, is this bad? I did
this
know that.
It's not bad, but I tell everyone.
Know that. Yeah. I knew this about Lori.
It's a personal thing, and, yeah, you know, totally. It was her body, her choice, and there are people out there who would think that she's terrible for having done this, but she's not. She's even better, because if she hadn't had those abortions, I wouldn't have been born. Her life would have came out very differently, and I wouldn't be here, so.
I tried that same approach with my mom once. I'm like, well, maybe if you hadn't had those two, because both the miscarriages were, I mean, obviously, before my brother and I was like, well, maybe you wouldn't have had us. And she was like, no, I wanted four kids. I was like, well, fuck, sorry. Sorry it didn't work out. But we wouldn't have the fun origin story of my mom getting those experimental womb steroids.
Oh, right.
Which is why I'm...
You were born twice.
That's why I was born two times, is why I was... A fat, 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 fat baby where she could have no babies and then she could only have huge babies. It was like a magic spell.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be magic.
Hey, speaking of magic.
That was an intentional segue.
But before we go into that, we should introduce our guest.
Yes.
She's a very funny comedian. You've seen her on Conan. Maggie May.
Hey.
Thanks a bunch for being here.
Yeah, thanks
for having me.
Of course. So you've brought us a movie. Mm-hmm. That movie is called Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Mm-hmm.
Caitlin's so excited for this episode.
And you're so not.
I'll be okay.
Yeah.
I'm strong.
We watched it together.
We did. We had fun. Yeah. I like this movie.
Cool.
I just don't like Harry Potter.
I see.
Mm. That's a different podcast.
Different podcast. We don't need to go into it, although I'm sure we will.
We might.
So tell us about your history with, like, why'd you pick this movie?
Well, I'm a big fan of Harry Potter because I'm a big fan of magic. Mm-hmm. I actually do stand-up material on this as well. Mm-hmm. I am magical. You can't tell me I'm not. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, y'all don't know my life. Y'all don't know how I do stuff. So, y'all don't even know my middle name. So, I'm Magic, and y'all can't tell me that I'm not.
Maggie Magic May? Is that your name?
Dang.
There's...
It's actually, my middle name is actually Maggie. It's Magic Maggie May.
Oh, that's way smoother.
Got it.
But yeah, I love magic. I love fantasy. I loved the Harry Potter franchise. It was so good and smart and well thought out. I read the books first. Mm-hmm. The last book, I actually went to the... There was like a release party and you can get your book at midnight.
Like Barnes & Noble?
Yeah. So I showed up to that, got my book, put headphones on, ran to the car, drove home, and then read it. Didn't check my email, didn't turn on the TV, none of that until I was done. Because the one before, someone had ruined it before I'd finished reading it.
Oh, no.
And that's a big ruin for the sixth book.
Yeah. And they showed dudes driving by like lines outside of bookstores just yelling out what happened and people just being like
domestic terrorism.
That's exactly what that
that's
is.
What are they, Slytherins?
Right? Oh my gosh.
So that's I'm not
crazy.
Gonna let that happen to me. So
yeah, I think that is really cool that there was like a series, because there's like no other series in I think our lifetimes where I mean, so many people have that exact experience of, like, getting the book at midnight, then going and not communicating with anyone until they read the whole thing. Like, that's really cool that that happened as recently as, what, like, 10 or a little more than 10 years ago?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm a big Harry Potter fan, although, so, I've seen this movie maybe 50 times or more. It's insane. Okay. I got it on DVD, and my sister and I watched it every day for an entire summer, sometimes twice a day. Similar to what I did with the Titanic double VHS tapes.
Right. That experience I can connect with. The Harry Potter one I can't.
I like loved the books so much. I had read the first four, I think, at that point. And I was just like, oh my God, I love Harry Potter. This movie is not that great. It's a little campy. I still love it. You know, I've seen it enough times to be able to quote every single line of dialogue, as embarrassed as I am.
I can corroborate that.
Yep. And then I started rereading the book in preparation for this episode because I wanted to see if there's like, are women portrayed any differently in the book? And I was like, oh, wow, the prose in this is like for a much lower reading level than I remember. It's like, this is for sixth graders.
Yeah.
I, for some reason, thought, like, the prose was just more mature or something. I don't know.
It matures as it gets older.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, I think, from the book perspective, because we were talking about this yesterday, too, I feel like there's something to, when you give a kid a book that looks long and, big, they're like, whoa, this is so cool. I am smart. Because when you're, it's like quantity, not quality when you're a kid.
Yeah. Right.
And... but the margins on Harry Potter is bananas. You have like five words to a page. It's the same thing with the Lemony Snicket books. And those were the ones that I was like toting around like, look at me. This is 200 pages long. But that translates to like, it takes a couple hours to read because there's like four 1-inch margins and on every side. It's crazy.
The font is like size 16. Like it's just...
Harry Potter has a ridiculous font.
Yeah.
I will say there's some curves to the, just like, oh, is this a fantasy book? Is this what we're reading?
Their font looks real magical.
Yeah, it does.
All
yeah.
of it looks magic.
It's a very, but like Microsoft Word magic.
Yeah.
Like how would Clippy envision magic?
Clippy!
Because we got to talk about Clippy a little more.
Oh, man. He just wanted to help. That's all he wanted. He's like, are you writing a letter?
There's a military drama about Clippy somewhere. Like, he was just trying to help and no one wanted his help. He was a casualty of war. Ignored by his peers.
Poor
Mocked.
Clippy.
All right, well, this is my spare time. I have to figure out.
I'll do the recap.
Please.
Here we go. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone is about a young boy, Harry Potter. He's the boy who lived. He gets dumped off on a doorstep because his mom and dad get murdered by Voldemort, a.k.a. you know who, a.k.a. he who must not be named. Grow up, everyone. Just say his fucking name. So he has to live with these muggle family members of his, these non-magical people. And then when he's 11, he gets a letter. He's like, whoa, I'm accepted to Hogwarts. Holy crap, am I a wizard? And Hagrid, his friend, comes along. His new friend is like, you are a wizard, Harry. So he leaves this muggle world
He's abducted by a huge man.
On a motorcycle.
On a motorcycle. I'm just like, this is not the precedent we need to be setting. This is very weird early Bush era kind of politics to be like, don't get on the gigantic stranger's motorcycle because he tells you you have magical powers. That's deeply troubling. Anyways.
But that is what happened.
That's all I wanted to do. But I was nine. I shouldn't have wanted that.
Sure.
That was bad.
And, you know, he takes you shopping. He's like, mm-hmm. have an owl.
He's a,
get a wand.
Full-on pervert. There's that scene you pointed out yesterday where he's sitting on his own stoop playing the lute and, like, luring children into his cabin. Then and he's like, oh, hi. Like, you're just
and not
like,
only... he's
that's a classic pervert move. Luring him in with music.
He's not even... he's not playing just any song. He's playing the score to Harry Potter.
He's playing...
he's like, do-do-do-do-do-do.
I noticed that. That's some Pied Piper kind of nonsense right there.
Exactly.
Taking kids out of town.
Yeah, he's
trying anyone
to
with a
like
lute
rats.
Is trying to take your children away from you.
I think it's a safe bet to just say don't trust anyone with a lute. Lute owners, you're on notice.
Lute owners are louts.
Lout. Ooh, see, easy. Lutes are louts.
Easy to remember. Just
especially
know.
If they're playing John Williams scores. You know, don't trust them. It's bad.
Right.
That means they're not even cultured. That's step one.
Basic ass lute players.
If someone's playing the Star Wars theme on their lute,
no,
don't approach their home. Don't. Oh God, there's a lot of scenes with children alone with Hagrid that now very much bother me. Like there should be supervision.
He takes them into the dark forest, and he's like, "This is detention. We got to find this dead unicorn because there's an evil thing out there killing it." It's like that's not safe even for the wizarding world,
right?
But anyway, I'm jumping ahead of myself. So
he got all worked up about Hagrid and how he's a pervert.
Harry Potter discovers that he's a magical person and he gets accepted to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. So he like preps to go to school. He does all his school shopping and then he goes and he meets his friend Ron Weasley. Mediocre as hell.
Fun guy, give him a chance. I say, fun guy, give him a chance.
And then he meets his other friend, Hermione Granger, who, she's great. I like her a lot, but they only become friends with her because they feel bad for incessantly bullying her for the first part of the school year.
To be fair, she is mean.
She...
to them.
A bit, yeah.
She is mean to them. I think this is a later discussion that I want to have.
We'll get there.
Okay.
And then, you know, there's the headmaster, Dumbledore. He's the best wizard of all time or whatever.
Good Dumbledore, not yelling
Richard
Dumbledore
Harris.
From later.
Right.
Like yelling Dumbledore. He's scary.
He is scary. He's too harsh.
I don't want to help him. And I'm not sad when he, spoiler alert, passes away.
Of natural causes.
Yeah, very slowly. It's a period of years.
He is like a bazillion. He's so old. We never know how old he is.
Right. Should we really be mourning? He could be 800 years old and dying of scurvy.
He was friends with Nicholas Flamel, who had the elixir of life.
Yeah.
Which is what this movie's about. So there's this secret item that Hagrid takes out of a vault at Gringotts, the Wizard Bank. And Harry's like, what is this item? We don't know what's happening. And then they discover this three-headed dog inside Hogwarts, the castle. And they're like, what's this guarding? Is the dog guarding the thing that was taken out of the vault? And then they figure out that it must be this Sorcerer's Stone, which is this thing that can turn any metal into gold. And it produces the Elixir of Life, which makes you immortal. Mm-hmm. And they deduce that one of the bad professors, Snape, or someone who they think is bad, wants the Elixir of Life to give to Voldemort because he maybe died whenever he tried to kill Harry Potter. Also left that part out. Whoops. Yeah. He killed Harry Potter.
He killed Harry
tried
Potter.
Tried to. Didn't succeed. He's got a lightning bolt scar.
Because Harry Potter's mom got the same weird experimental operation my mom got in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And that's why her baby is huge and can't die. Yeah. Like me.
Exactly. That is part of Harry Potter canon. Thanks
it
for
is.
Reminding me.
We had the same experimental birth doctor.
Started off in North Carolina.
Exactly. Yeah. Harry Potter's roots actually lie in North Carolina.
Okay, sorry. Keep going.
So they're like, Snape is bad, and he's friends with Voldemort, and Voldemort must be trying to come back because, you know, we think he might have died, but maybe he also didn't, and he maybe is trying to resurface. They have their whole school year. Harry Potter's great at Quidditch. What isn't he great at?
He's truly great at everything, and whenever he does something wrong, everyone's like, actually, that's good because either, like, the catch is you're wealthy, or, like, the catch is we know you broke the rules, but now you're the captain of the sports team. Like, that happens over and over and over where he's just – and I get it from the perspective of, like, kids are going to be like, I want to be like this. I want to, like, break the rules and then get – you know. And he had a tough past, but I'm also just like, there's so few things that Harry Potter actually has to – he doesn't really get in trouble ever. And he fucks up all the time. Yeah, exactly. White like, exactly.
Male privilege.
Even in the magic world, there's still white male privilege. Cis, straight, white male privilege.
Harry Potter just takes it. He's just like, oh, I broke the rules. I guess I'm the captain now. Yeah. And I'm just like, fuck off, because that's, you know, probably how your whole life's going to go.
Don't even
need to learn the lesson. Doesn't matter.
You're good. He's wealthy. I want him to share his wealth. He's got a poor ass friend, Ron. All the Weasleys are poor. Share your wealth, Harry.
And they get him presents.
Yeah. Mrs. Weasley knits him a sweater. And it's like, no, you give her something.
Mm-hmm. I'll go, presents.
And then there's this whole thing at the end where they're like, oh my God, we got to stop Snape from stealing the Sorcerer's Stone so that he doesn't give it to Voldemort.
Right.
But surprise, it's not Snape. It's Professor Quirrell, who's a little
UCB 301 graduate. His acting is that of a UCB 301 graduate who's very proud of himself. He's like,
stuttering Professor.
It's like, great job. Like, would you like some, you know, yes. And then... everything. I think Professor Quirrell's hilarious because all of his line reads are like, I don't know who
there's
this actor
a troll
is
in the dungeon,
right? And then he says, I thought you ought to know, and then he like passes out. I'm just like, I have been sidelined in this exact horrible improv scene that you're doing right now, and it was an interesting thing because I haven't seen this movie in like, I think between like 6 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. Certainly before I knew what a UCB 301 graduate did. But that's totally, I think that they just plucked him up from British UCB, right? Ye old UCB. And they're like, oh yeah, you seem like you have a basic feel for the craft. Put on a turban, white man, and scare every child. And also, that's the other thing with Professor Quirrell, of he's a white guy in a turban, and surprise, what's under the turban is scary, and that's not a good precedent set either.
Right.
Yeah.
Most people who wear turbans in real life don't have a Voldemort face on the back of their head.
I think we can just take out the word most.
I was like, I don't know a single person that's hiding it. Except for Judy. She's got an evil magician back there, but everybody else
But she's very nice.
Judy's nice.
She takes her medication. The evil magician stays intact. Doesn't say anything.
Poor Judy.
She's doing her best.
She is. They discover that it's Quirrell and that he is harboring Voldemort, who, like, can't have his own body yet because he's still, like, he's, like, this half-person. So, of course, Harry Potter wins. He defeats the bad guy, even though he's an 11-year-old. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I won! And then that's pretty much the end of the movie.
Yeah, and then he gets on a train, and the big pervert says, see you next year.
I got you this book.
Right. Don't accept the pervert's offering.
It's pictures of you and your family from when you were young.
Like, yeah, don't open it till I'm not in your sight.
So there's that. Oh, there's the movie. We forgot to talk about what this podcast even is. They know.
Oh, shit. Oh, you're right. Movies, well... Maybe we'll just say this one, hopefully you know.
Hopefully you know by now.
Kind of the role of women in movies.
That's right.
Yes.
One of the questions I would like to pose is why J.K. Rowling, a woman, a pretty outspoken feminist, today, sure, at least. You've got some feelings about that, I can tell.
But I could snap her over my leg.
Okay, cool. I generally like her, but I am just curious to know why she didn't write a female-led YA novel when she is a woman. Why did she, like, oh, maybe I should write this book and have the men outnumber the female characters.
Has she written a female-led anything? I don't know about her work outside of Harry Potter or how much of it there actually is.
Me either. There's Casual Vacancy, which I don't remember if she wrote that under a pen name or not.
I just remember I worked at a bookstore when that came out and everyone was like, ooh, probably don't. it's not supposed to be a very good one. I don't know anything about it, though.
Yeah, I haven't read any of her other work besides Harry Potter. But I guess, you know, is it interesting that she decided to make the lead a boy?
No.
I was thinking about that, too, because there are a lot of strong female characters in the book. Mm-hmm, there aren't, like, in the movie, if we're just going by the movie, I didn't see any weak female characters except for that one girl that came and got sorted after, like,
Susan Bones?
Yeah, like, she, I was like, you
is
are...
Is her name Susan Bones?
Susan Bones, that is also my stripper name. Thank you very much. Please, welcome to the stage.
Look at
Susan Bones.
The haunted house ass name is Susan Bones. That's garbage.
And she was
lazy.
The only timid one, you know? And I was like, yeah, you Hufflepuff as fuck. That's what I like. All the other female characters were super strong, but the male characters, there were weak male characters, mm-hmm, and there were backstabbing male characters, and there were bad male characters, and two-faced ones, literally. So I saw it in Sending Harry, it's a go get your dudes. You know, like, your dudes are causing all the trouble in Hogwarts, they're causing all the trouble in the magic world.
Interesting.
It is not our responsibility to now go and have to produce the emotional labor of handling your dudes. Go get your dude. Like, I saw it like that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
Go put yourself in danger and go get your dude.
Right.
I'm gonna be out here with the snake grass or whatever that is.
Wherever they are. So I did a little bit, as upsetting as it is to me to engage in J.K. Rowling's life, I wanted to, like, go over her story a little bit. So she was a single mom when she wrote this. I believe a single mom to a young boy. So that's the main reason I would give her a pass on Harry. But, you know, she's, like, raising a little boy, so that kind of makes sense. But what I did think was interesting was that the reason that her pen name is J.K. Rowling is because when she gave the manuscript and they were like, yeah, we really like this, but because she went by, like, Joanne or whatever, and they were like, but we don't think that people are going to want to read a book by a woman. So that's why they made her change it to, like, this kind of androgynous J.K. Rowling. So it could have been, like,
the common thing.
Exactly.
The writer of The Outsiders. They did that to her, too.
Right, right.
And people were like, we know J.K. Simmons. That's a man. J.K. Rowling must also be a man.
People confuse it and think he's, like, doing a weird pivot. But it is interesting to me that was happening, like, as recently as, you know, 97, it seems like.
Yeah,
really?
You'd think we'd be over that. Yeah.
Well, but we're not.
No.
Not even today.
Yeah.
Oh, but so, I mean, it is weird. I mean, I agree that all the female characters are strong and intelligent and don't really cause trouble.
At least until we meet, like, Bellatrix Lestrange later on, and she's, like,
right,
pretty much.
And who's that bitch that wears pink?
Oh, Professor Umbridge.
She's cool.
Dolores Umbridge.
She's fucking. Yeah.
I hate her.
I think after I saw that movie, that was the first time I used the C word in conversation. I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
But that's, like, she is.
She is.
Majorly is.
And is it problematic for us to be saying that? Maybe, but that is exactly what she is.
I mean,
we're reclaiming the word.
Fine. Every Harry Potter villain is a cunt.
Yeah, all
villains are cunts.
All villains are cunts.
All of them.
Let's
all
make no
them.
Exceptions. All villains
Mr.
are cunts.
Mr. Freeze, mm-hmm. Cunt.
Total cunt. Everyone except Doc Ock. He's not a cunt. We really need to give him some thought.
Okay, I was.
He has a very nuanced story.
I considered.
And I just think that maybe he was trying to do it for the good of science, and then maybe got a little sidetracked.
I was going to start a clock to see how long it would take you to mention Alfred Molina or one of his characters.
Well, I think that Alfred Molina really sells you on the idea that maybe, like, Doc Ock is a very nuanced character. A lesser actor would not have done that.
Perhaps.
So, shout out to Alfred Molina. Okay. Please tweet back at us.
I know.
Why aren't you answering us?
He didn't answer our tweet. I'm so sad.
I'm sweating now.
Anyway, so yeah, Dolores Umbridge, she's a cunt.
She is a cunt, yeah. But that's, I mean, that's okay.
That is okay.
She's supposed
also,
to be.
Right, right.
I think intentionally that she gives cat lovers a bad name.
Oh, I forgot that she has cats.
She loves cats.
Isn't she the lady that made, that like basically cut her students?
She gave Harry a pen and she's like, you must not tell lies. And when he wrote it on the parchment, it actually dug into his hand. Like, it was like he was cutting.
Major cunt move. Yeah. Don't do that to kids.
Violence against students.
Don't cut your kids. Easy rule.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey,
well,
CPS up in the magic world.
That's true. Yeah, where... Yeah,
anything goes.
Where is there ever, like, a... I know that there's, like, magic government, but is there any
the
sort
Ministry
of regulatory
magic
force to, like, protect children? Because... Yeah. Wands. All the children are repeatedly, they're like, seems like you've got this, like, which is crazy.
You've got a wand.
Where do kids, they don't go to school presumably until they're 11 when they go to Hogwarts.
Oh, yeah.
Where do they learn to read?
When do they read?
And there's
are
no math. There's no magical math. They're just like, pick it up on the way.
There could be no women in STEM.
There it is.
Yeah!
No women in STEM.
Although I would argue that Professor McGonagall is a woman in STEM. I feel like Transfiguration is the science of the wizarding world.
Science. What is transfiguration?
It's like turning one thing into another.
Oh yeah, that
object.
Sounds like science.
Also, but potions
also like alchemy.
That's like beakers.
Potions is like chemistry.
Right. Oh yeah, okay.
Tubes.
Transfiguration.
You need math for that.
You need math for tubes.
The T in STEM, I think, stands for transfiguration.
And the M stands
science
for magic.
Yeah,
science transfiguration. Engineering, magic.
And magic, yeah. Yeah, you can twist it. Okay, there are women in STEM.
Yeah.
Yeah. And plenty of them.
Plenty.
And then also, oh wait, no. I was thinking of they have the herbology. Is it herbology in the, that's kind of science-y.
Yeah.
Right?
It's,
or like home medicinal kind of, it seems health related.
There's the study
medicine
of plants, whatever that is.
Botany.
Right.
Botany,
yeah.
Yeah, Professor Sprout is teaching botany classes.
Is that the guy
and
with the beard?
They take, no, she's a woman.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay,
yeah.
So that is a female professor.
And then there's, we don't ever see her in the movie, but there is, a female astronomy professor that teaches astronomy classes. No, that's
that's the
T's.
Lady.
She's T's. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
she's
they never
freak.
They don't
I like
take.
Her.
I think only
I like her a lot. Yeah,
right. And we don't see her until the third movie, or we don't meet
something
her
until
like the third
that
book. But there's another astronomy professor who's a woman. So there's a lot of women teachers. A lot of them don't get mentioned.
The
or
flying class,
Madam Hooch.
Yep. Gym teacher. Is,
gym teacher.
Yep.
I mean, that is gym teacher, right? That's like their equivalent. Yeah, like she's
I
a,
like her.
Like Miss Tassinari in seventh grade.
And
like, there it is.
The school nurse, a.k.a. Madame Pomfrey.
Yeah.
Another woman.
Right.
But a lot of these characters, at least in the movie, don't get a lot of screen time or any significant
besides
dialogue.
Besides Professor McGonagall, it doesn't seem like many of them have like a high standing in the school. Because Dumbledore's in charge, we know that. And then it seems like McGonagall is next.
She's the head of Gryffindor House, and then
oh right, there's housemasters.
Mm-hmm.
But are there any other female housemasters? I know Snape is Slytherin. Who Ravenclaw? Hufflepuff. I don't know who's in.
Oh, I think Hufflepuff is Professor Flitwick.
Oh, the little guy.
The little guy, and then Ravenclaw. I think. Let me look it up.
Their original Ravenclaw was Rowena Ravenclaw.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
She was one of the four founding members of.
She was that Booksmart lady.
Hogwarts.
I'm assuming. Oh wait, Maggie, have you ever taken like the quiz that you're supposed to take to figure out what house you're in?
Yes.
Where are you?
I took two because the first quiz gave me some bullshit.
Okay, fair enough.
I got Gryffindor the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm not a Gryffindor.
First.
that's not where I am. And then the next time I got Ravenclaw, which is
cool.
Where I should be.
Cool.
I'm going to Harry Potter World on Sunday.
Ooh.
Oh, Wow. So I'm going to get sorted. And if that's I don't so get into cool. Ravenclaw, I'm throwing a scene.
Wait, do you get sorted at Universal?
Oh,
I've only been
know.
To Florida.
I've been several times, but I didn't want to ever wait in the line. Wait,
but
I'm sorry.
You can?
I saw the commercial.
That's
and it looks
so
like
cool.
I'm getting a
man.
Wand, all kinds of it. Oh, it's going to be ridiculous.
I want to go now.
We should go. Flitwick is the head of Ravenclaw House. So I'm so sorry for all the listeners at home. We're like, Caitlin, you were wrong. Because I know that's what you were doing. Sorry.
All Caitlin's nerds, calm down.
The head of Hufflepuff is Professor Sprout, who is the herbology.
Okay. Yes, okay. Right. Okay.
That makes sense.
So it is half and half for the housemasters.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So we've got women in some leadership roles. That's
good.
Nice.
Good. Good. On the right track.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of
screen
just
time.
Important, yeah, female characters who contribute to the story in the movie and also in the books, especially the movie. There goes your Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Pardon my Mike's Hard.
They just don't have that much to contribute to the story. Although I would argue, right. Okay, so let's talk about Hermione.
That's the main person we have to talk about
yet. I would say that she contributes more to the progression of the story than Ron, if mm-hmm. we're arguing that,
yeah,
like,
so,
Harry,
sure.
Ron, and Hermione are the three main characters.
Well, because I think she, a number of times, is almost like the exposition tool who pushes forward, like, and now we're going to the library. And then she'll be the one to figure mm-hmm. out, this is what we came to the library for. Okay, next scene. And then she'll, like, I feel like there's a few scenes in a row where she figures out a critical thing that otherwise it's like, ooh, don't know what they would have done.
Right. So there were a couple of times in the movie I noticed when Harry was like, oh, well, if it wasn't for Hermione, we wouldn't like when Ron was like, well, lucky I didn't panic. He's like, well, lucky Hermione
pays attention and in then herbology.
And then she's like, you're a great, you know, great wizard. And he's like, you're better. She's like, yeah, but friendship and whatever.
Right. And also, like, you're my richest friend. So, like, one must be aware when speaking to their richest friend of, like, how they're talking. That's not even a gender thing. That's a class issue.
Man.
I wouldn't tell my richest friend I'm smarter than him, even if that was true. I'd be like, no, you're really smart.
I would tell my richest friend that I am smarter than him because I hate rich people.
But then how are you going to get all his money and trick him and then lock him in a cage?
I can trick him by being
smarter than him.
Yeah. Say, hey, you can't even buy smarts like me. Give me your money and try.
Yeah.
Slap.
Yeah.
Slap a dramatic
with a hand full of hundreds.
Or like quarters if you're poor. It would hurt more.
Yeah, I got a sock full of quarters. Bam.
Smack the wealthy with it.
Yeah. Oh, so hashtag smack the wealthy. Let's get it going. Find your wealthiest friend. If they're cool, they'll understand why you're doing it.
They're your friend. They won't press charges.
Right. They'll be like, you know what? This is symbolic of something larger, and I am to you. Right.
I had it coming.
Right.
Yeah.
I accept it. Now let's go to dinner.
And I'm buying because I'm wealthy and I need to spread my wealth.
Right.
That's all I want, for wealthy people to spread their wealth. Sorry, I'm a socialist.
The only time I've ever hit someone in my whole life was in college. And I was like in an argument with my closest male friend, and we had just been like duking. It was over something very stupid, but I got so mad. I had never been that mad before. And I'm like, I don't have any words left. I'm going to hit him. And so what I did was, in the Boston Common, I knew he was getting out of class. I knew he would be heading for the train station, and I knew we were supposed to be meeting up for dinner to argue more.
Yeah.
So I was like, instead, I'll just end it now. And I hid behind a tree and waited for him to pass me, and I leaped out and I punched him in the face. And it wasn't a good punch, but it was very dramatic. I'd been waiting for a while for him to get out of class, and I punched him in the face, and I'm like, never for, like, he stood there, and I was just like, I don't want to have this argument anymore. And that was like after I'd hit him, and he was like, okay. And then he brought me out to dinner, and the argument was over. That's the only time I ever hit someone. I want to do that like every 20 years.
It sounds like it was effective in getting what you wanted.
It would have been totally valid if it wasn't effective, but I'm very glad that it was.
Yeah.
Red, I don't think you'd ever been, I don't know if you'd ever been hit by anyone, much less someone you'd never expect to hit you.
Yeah.
And he rewarded you with Sizzler afterwards.
And so. I got, it was like Wings Night or something. I didn't put him out.
Still good.
It was good. Yeah.
Hey, bring it all back. This doesn't happen in this movie, but Hermione does punch Draco Malfoy in the face in movie number three.
When she's wearing that hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pink hoodie. Punch in the nose.
Like it.
He deserved it. Mm-hmm. But going back to Hermione, a topic I'll always bring up is a woman needing to be saved. It happens over and over again. It's a horrible trope. Very annoying. And it happens in the scene, it's like Halloween time, and someone has let the troll in to the castle, and this is right after Ron was like, no wonder she hasn't got any friends, she's a stupid bitch, or whatever he says.
That's exactly what he says.
And so she goes to the bathroom and cries all afternoon, and then someone lets the troll in, and then Harry's like, we've got to tell Hermione, she doesn't know. And they go, and the troll is in the bathroom, flinging
in all his 2001 CGI glory.
Flinging his little club around, and
as men are wont to do.
Hermione, is just, she doesn't do anything to save herself, even though she's the most competent of the three of them in magic. Like, she could be like, hey, Wingardium Leviosa, and she
doesn't. Does she have her wand on her, though?
She might not, but I feel like... Well, they always have their wands on them at all times.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Is this the only time in the movie it happens?
It is,
right?
And so I'm willing to forgive it because she then saves either Ron or Harry or the both of them
multiple times
after that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that maybe the fact that comes so early in the story is almost like a misdirect of it looks like she can't defend herself. Because obviously, I'm sure in the right circumstances, she could have...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But then
maybe,
I also,
she was just maybe peeing. You know, she's in the bathroom.
Why else would she have been there?
Maybe her wand was off. Well, she was crying all day because they were bullying her.
I've cried and pee at the same time. We don't know. Sometimes you
got liquid coming out of my face. Got a liquid coming out of my
All of my orifices are just sprouting. But they're, I don't know. But then I guess this, if we want to harken back to a few episodes ago to our Wonder Woman episode, when a woman isn't a superhero, I feel like it's almost a little bit misleading to have her succeed in every scene of, I think it's okay that Hermione fails, or she doesn't even fail, but, is freaked out and isn't hyper-competent in every scene, because that just feels kind of, I don't know, it almost feels like a human thing to me of course you're not going to be competent in every moment of trouble.
And the thing about Hermione that I noticed is that she has her strengths and she knows where other people have their strengths and is comfortable enough in herself to let people work on their own strength. When Ron is doing chess, you mean to tell me smart ass Hermione can't play some chess? She probably can.
Right.
But she's like, Ron's out here doing it all the time. He probably grew up playing wizarding chess. I will defer to him.
Especially because this is the only thing he has to contribute to the whole story.
That's, She's he's not going to make him the credits if I don't let him do this.
That's interesting. The idea of just choosing her moments carefully. Because, that's certainly not something that Ron does. But I also think that for most moments he's afraid rather than thinking rationally. I think it is funny that Ron's main moment and his moment of strength is essentially I'm 11 and I'm going on a suicide mission. He's I'm gonna die for my friend I've known for 6 months. And I'm just so still dumb as fuck. Noble dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
And there's such a thing.
Yeah, he's brave.
He's to do whatever with some candy frogs.
Right.
You buy a Weasley a candy frog, you have a friend for life. His mom will knit you a sweater on Christmas. Everything.
Yeah, because, Harry Potter hadn't even really met his family at that point. You're just you bought our kid candy once. Yeah, you can get. I feel my parents were a little bit like that. They're like, well, we get it. Our kid's not super easy to be friends with. So if you're going the extra mile, you will be rewarded.
Also, that scene where he buys like the chocolate frogs and all the other candy on the train. In that scene, there are so many shots of a child's crotch because like Harry's like pulling change out of his pocket or like Scabbers is on Ron's lap. And you just see like a shot just of like a small boy's crotch. And it's like, surely you could have shot this a little differently.
The little boy crotch shots in this movie makes you think about Chris Columbus. And where's he at?
Yeah.
Well, this is a vile topic, but do we get any Hermione crotch shots?
Not that I remember.
Not that I remember. We'd get several Harry crotch shots, at least one Ron crotch
Harry
shot.
Crotch.
And then...
I have to go home now.
And then there's that scene at the end where Harry's saying goodbye to... Hagrid, that big old pervert, and Harry's head comes up to Hagrid's crotch. So we get, when we're seeing stuff at Harry's perspective, we are looking at Hagrid's
giant.
We've got to assume horse dick.
Like, giant.
Maybe bigger than a horse.
Maybe.
The man's huge.
He's like 11
half
feet
giant.
Tall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we learn later in the series that his mother was a giant and his father was a human. How did that sex
weird.
Happen?
Okay, don't talk about me and my ex-boyfriend. Don't talk about me and my small men. It works out.
Also, I'm probably going to get yelled at for kink shaming or something. Oh,
listen.
A giant and a human can't fuck? What's wrong with that? It's curious is all I'm saying.
You have to climb up her to do that.
Yeah.
People don't just like, that's not
I bet he could have crawled inside of her vagina.
Honey, love finds a way.
Left a
love
trail
finds
of
a way
breadcrumb
into that cavernous
semen.
Vagina. Maybe there's like a whole Ulysses style adventure he took inside her vagina, found his way back out, and then somehow he had, you know, scuffed the right place and she was pregnant. We don't know their story.
He was artificially inseminated. Someone just dragged in a garbage bag full of.
Yeah, he
sample
had to,
from the past month.
He had
of
to
that
like,
guy.
Yeah, he had to come in a jar every day for 6 years, and then there's a 20% chance his wife might conceive.
Aristotle is crying.
They just put it in a super soaker.
Yeah, or like
the best,
or like a t-shirt gun, just. This is not kink shaming. This is kink. Empowerment.
This is the science behind.
This is women in STEM just discussing.
Right.
Just a discussion of science.
Just normal reproduction.
Ooh, yeah.
Well.
T-shirt gunning.
More about...
Someone's come inside you. Is an acceptable kink. I'll say it.
Going back to Hermione.
Okay.
And so, yes, she does need to be saved by Harry and Ron that scene with the troll. But then a bunch of other things happen where when they're like running through the third floor corridor and they like need to escape Filch, she's like, Alohomora. She knows the spell. So that's like kind of a minor one. But then whenever she realizes that what she thinks is Snape cursing Harry on his broomstick during the Quidditch game, she's like, leave it to me, and then runs up to Snape's little audience pit area,
his little Phantom of the Opera area.
And lights his robes on fire.
Box
which
five.
I love it. Arson. Got love a good you know, felony.
Mm-hmm. And set your teacher on fire.
You know, and then manages, even though like she targets the wrong person, she manages to save Harry from, you know, falling off his broom and dying. And then toward the end, like you already mentioned, when they get caught in the devil's snare, the big plant,
right.
She's like, you just got to relax. And then Ron is freaking out and he
can't
relax.
Listen to a woman.
Can't chill.
Can't.
Exactly. And he's just like, yeah.
Harry listens.
But
he doesn't have a personality.
Right. and then, yeah, Ron is all like, oh, yeah, lucky. And it's like, she saved your ass. Just fucking acknowledge it for 1 second.
Yeah, Ron.
Which is why Ron is a chode and he sucks.
Okay. You're right. You're right. But I think as a chode, he, like all chodes, Yeah. They grow. They grow with time. If you just give them a chance.
He doesn't, though. He stays a piece of shit through the entire series. He does nothing but, like, verbally abuse her and undermine her abilities.
He's not a grower.
Feel...
He's a shower.
He's a shower. Yeah, really? Okay, well, I believe you. I'm sorry. I just
have a lot of problems with Ron.
I just had a crush on Rupert Grint for too long, and I'm being an apologist, and that's on me. And that's on me. Rupert Grint came into the bookstore I worked at once, and I'm taller than him.
Whoa.
Yeah. Kind of like a human slash giantess kind of thing.
Oh. Well.
And to welcome him on a James Joyce voyage within me. But I wasn't brave enough to ask.
Well, like, yeah.
Hey, I got a t-shirt gun if you're interested.
You have 6 months and a lot of cum. Amazing opening line.
I want to go home.
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing that Hermione does here's the thing. She's poised as this, like, brainiac. She's very clever. She's a know-it-all. Her smartness and cleverness is almost poised as, like, a flaw of hers. Because at least at the beginning, she's like, look at everything I know, and look at all the spells I know, and look how smart I am, and how good I am at all the school things. Mm-hmm. And then she mansplains a lot. She's like, it's actually Leviosa, not Leviosa, or whatever. But... Yeah.
That's kind of fun, though.
It's kind of, like, yeah. I don't mind that she's overly explaining, because it's like, you're a boy and you're dumb, and I'm a smart girl.
Right.
And then she grows out of that, like, you know, maybe she sees, like, this isn't the way to be.
Or maybe just, like, not even the most effective way to get what she needs to get done.
Right.
Done by just pissing people off. I don't know.
But, I mean, I feel like it created results. Like, her telling Ron... Sure. How to correctly say Wingardium Leviosa, like, later on, he used it right.
Yeah, it paid off. You know,
true.
Like,
that's true.
So, I mean.
And then what I didn't think about when we were watching the movie, but occurs to me now, is that also she, aside from the fact that there's clear, weird gender disparity at Hogwarts to some extent, she's also coming from the point of, like, she's seen as, and this comes out, I think, in later books, as like a half. Breed.
A mudblood.
She's a mudblood, right. Yeah. And so I'm sure, like, even at the point where that's not discussed in the movie, she is maybe of the mind of, like, well, I have something to prove, so I have to be... Mm-hmm. I mean, and this goes back to a gender sort of metaphor of, like, well, I have to be twice as good to be taken seriously as this redheaded cuck, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Now that I think of it, like that, and she's not coming from, like, any point of privilege in the magic world. Fuck that sentence, Jamie. But like, I don't know. I guess that justifies her attitude a little
bit. Right. Well, also, like, I would say that the, you're not from a pure wizarding family. You're not a pure blood.
Right.
That's the racism of the wizarding world.
Right.
You know what? Honestly, Hermione was a black person. Did y'all know that?
In the books? Like, written as
Yeah, well? Like, in that play that they have in England, it's a black person playing Hermione.
No way!
And everyone's pissed, and, like, J.K. Rowling was like, I never said she was white. And if you look in the books, like, they said she has frizzy hair.
Mm.
Yeah, they just said she has frizzy hair, and it's like a Brillo pad, and it's, like, soft, and everybody wanted to touch it. She'd never let anybody. But, yeah, she, like, could easily be a person of color.
Oh, my God, I love that.
Interesting. Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck these casting directors, then, for casting Emma Watson.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to watch Beauty and the Beast. Unfair. I had to watch all those perfume ads. Yeah. Come on.
I love that. Oh, my God, I wish
it was. So that was
cool.
That even further, like, adds another layer of that's other stuff that she's now also having to, like, go against and like perceptions that people are going to perceive of her just for being, you know, any kind of a way, you know,
intersectionality.
Oh,
man.
She's so angry. She's such a bitch. No, dude, she's just, you know,
being
a person of color and magic
than you.
Yeah,
Oh, that's cool. I want to read more about that play.
Yeah.
Also, to make Emma Watson's hair frizzy in this movie, they actively crimp her hair.
the whole, which is another just a beautiful early aughts touch that I appreciated. They're like, how do we frizz it up? Oh, don't worry. My daughter has a crimping iron in her house. We'll figure this out.
Like, going back to, this is a very white movie. There are some people of color. Yes. Mm-hmm. They usually don't have any lines, except for like Lee Jordan as he's announcing the Quidditch game. Mm-hmm. Although, is, I want to say Angelina Johnson, one of the Quidditch players?
Yes.
A person of color?
I think she is. She
I
is in the
so.
Book, isn't she?
Yeah, I think so.
And then there's one other guy that's like kind of the periphery of his little like friend group.
Oh, Dean Thomas?
I think so.
Because he's their age, right? He's like, also
he's
a
little buddy-buddy with that one kid that keeps blowing himself up.
Oh, Seamus Finnegan. The little Scottish.
Yeah, Seamus and Dean. Yeah, I think Dean.
I kind of like that friendship.
Yeah.
Let's see their story. I want a spinoff.
Those are their, well, like, there's like, because the kids in this movie are such adults, it's like fun to see like kids behaving like dumb little kids sometimes and blowing themselves up. It's nice.
Yeah, true.
Or like Neville Longbottom, like, I'm scared.
Yeah.
You're
Where's
like,
my toad?
Chris, you are. You weird little kid.
Going back to Quidditch, though, I did enjoy that it's, as you pointed out, co-ed teams.
Mm-hmm. Co-ed teams, yeah.
Didn't feel the need to separate them into, you know, a boys' team and a girls' team. Also three
female
of the
coach.
Well, she's like the Quidditch master gym teacher. I don't know if they have coaches.
Master gym teacher.
But all three of the chasers on the Gryffindor team are women. So it's like, and they're the point scorers. They're like,
they're the ones dealing with the heavy ones.
They like throw the quaffle around. I love how also Quidditch is a sport invented by someone who has no understanding of how sports work.
Listen, if you're a real life person, I'm looping you in with the steampunk community as far as people I don't respect. If you're a real life person and you in your spare time play Quidditch with your other adult friends, I'm going to need you to walk into the sea. It's just an unacceptable way to spend your time. Go meet up with your local steampunks and let's start over.
I'm all about Quidditch, though. If your kid is on a Quidditch team, I'll go watch them.
It's with kids, it's cute.
I'll buy candy.
It's with kids, it's
uniforms.
Cute. With like, with.
They better fly, though. If it's a bunch of kids running around and throwing stuff, I don't have time. That's soccer.
The children had better be able to fly.
Yeah, there better be real magic and real brooms.
My college had a Quidditch team, and I found it so deeply upsetting. That's like, oh, someone I went on a date with is now actively in public flailing about. Thinking he can fly, I can't accept it.
That's just college kids, like with brooms between their legs, running around and trying to be athletic.
Yeah, it's some real art school bullshit.
Yeah,
they need to
exactly
grow
what
up.
That is,
yeah,
grow up art school.
Pick up a fucking basketball and figure it out.
Put your ass on the football field.
Get
a concussion for sports.
Put on a strap your skates on. Let someone kick you in the head with a skate.
Also, why is Quidditch the only sport in the wizarding world?
There should be.
We don't have just
wizard
baseball.
Wizard b-ball.
Yeah.
Quidditch is the only sport because it looks like it's like five sports put together.
Right.
That's true.
There's like nine things happening at all times.
I guess like sort of every, there's about like three or four different kinds of balls.
There's a bludgers, quaffles, and the snitch. Yeah.
I wonder how much thought she actually put into that.
Yeah, hard to say.
Yeah.
But it comes, it's
I mean,
such
it looks
a huge
cool.
part of the books, especially that it's like, why is so much emphasis on this? Anyway, I wanted to talk about, I love how, like, this is not about what this podcast is about, but I have to mention that I love how much product placement there is in this movie for
is
products
there?
That don't exist.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, but products that 10 years later would exist.
Yes. And then they can, capitalize on that later on with all like the Birdie Bots every flavor bean and stuff like that, because if you go to Universal Studios to Harry Potter World,
you can
buy wands and you can buy all the candy but there's just like so many shots where it's like, check out this logo for the Nimbus 2000, and it's
yeah
it's like, was Nimbus sponsoring this movie? Did you get money to put Nimbus? And it's like, wait,
it's
no.
It's so funny because if like Harry Potter as like a movie franchise had flopped, that would be so embarrassing to watch back now. Yeah. Like, ooh, they were really like swinging for the rafters with that. But it just happened to like work out in a pretty spectacular way. Mm-hmm. There is in the second movie, the flying car is like a Ford. I remember that being
it is
a thing.
Although I tried looking it up. I don't know if it's a real type of Ford. It was like a Ford. I forget. But I was like, what
a Ford Fiesta? Were they driving a Ford Fiesta? Ford Focus?
I'd have to
the sensible choice.
My mom and sister both drive a Ford Focus.
My dad drives a Focus.
Oh, nice.
Boring car.
Yeah, very boring. Hey, here's something I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
Why doesn't Hermione have any female friends?
I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
She's got people to choose from. She's got Lavender Brown. She's got Pavarti Patel.
She doesn't have
people
as many
in other houses.
Choice. Right.
Later, doesn't she kind of become friends with Luna Lovegood?
A bit, yeah.
Okay.
But that's quite a bit later on. I don't think we even meet Luna until book five.
She's younger a bit, right?
I think she's their year, but she's in Ravenclaw. And it seems like the houses don't, they only are enemies with each other. Yeah, they don't like hang out.
Yeah.
Which, like, what kind of fucked
Another
up shit is that?
Another weird precedent to set. But yeah, that is interesting. I mean, I know that probably statistically there's less girls, or it looks in this movie anyways, there's less girls that go to Hogwarts. Maybe I think that might even out later on.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's, I don't know, that's interesting.
It didn't really look like a lot of girls in Gryffindor.
Yeah.
I can't really, like,
it's like 50% of them are Weasleys. It's just a million Weasleys. It's like 20 Weasleys and then a few other kids.
Jenny gets into Gryffindor too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that the implication basically about the Weasleys is like, they're probably Catholic. It doesn't seem like they really believe in birth. They're like old school, like New England Catholic.
Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
Freckled, redhead, Irish Catholic.
Had never seen a condom in their life, even though there's probably a fucking spell for that. That's free. What is wizard birth control like?
Good question.
Wow.
There's no...
Probably effective.
Right?
Probably real
unless there's
effective.
A counter spell of like, I want to get you pregnant. I don't know.
Ooh, there are love emotions.
But what man has ever truly said that? I want to get you pregnant. A question for J.K. Rowling to answer in a series of very boring clickbait articles sometime in the next 5 years. I can't stand when she does that, where she every couple years where she's like, oh, it feels like maybe interest isn't like where it should be. This character is bi. Like, doesn't change anything that happened.
No.
Chill out. We see you. I see you. You're fine. You're still a millionaire. Yeah. You don't need to tweet about.
We still like the books.
Yeah. It's like, you don't need to tweet about which teenager you're saying is bi.
I think the more characters
an arbitrary
she
example.
Makes LGBT, the better. I'm sick of all these fucking straight white people.
But I don't like that she does. She seems to do it for like fucking attention. Like, it's not.
Maybe. Can we talk about Professor McGonagall?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Downton Abbey. Mrs. Downton Abbey.
Mrs. Abbey of downtown.
Mrs. Abigail Downtown. That's my CW remake of Downton Abbey.
Abigail Downtown.
Abigail Downtown. This is about a girl trying to make it in New York City.
After Hermione, she's the female character with the most screen time and dialogue and importance and bearing on the story. I mean, I really like her. She's stern and she's strict, you know, tough but fair. She's no nonsense, but she's also compassionate and
gets results.
Highly capable, very smart, a boss ass bitch. I love her.
Into sports.
Yeah.
Real into sports. You could tell she was athletic back in her day.
Yeah, I bet
she was on the team back in the day.
She was a scout. She basically was like, Harry, you're a seeker now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's one of the people like, you broke the rule. Here's your reward.
And she buys Harry a broom. Like, what
kind of... He's got money.
Right?
There's
give Weasley a broom. He's poor.
These Weasleys, what are they supposed to?
She made me poor think kids. She's got money on a lot of those Quidditch games.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, I bet she's a bit of a gambler.
Interest.
McGonagall's got dice.
What she's got dice.
That's why she isn't headmaster.
What if she's in gambling?
Because she got that gambling. Yeah.
Wow.
She'd be headmaster.
J.K. Rowling, if you're like listening, here's an idea for some clickbait for
your I'll click through all of that.
Yeah.
I'll it share works. That on Facebook and be like, see?
It works. Oh, boy.
She's great. I like her a lot. Yeah. She doesn't have a whole lot to do with the actual, like, I'm going to do a thing that makes the story go forward. She's, you know, sort of on the periphery for the most part. But she's an important character in later books and movies. I think maybe plays more of a significant role in different things. But
we haven't talked about Aunt Petunia at all.
Right.
And I mean, obviously I don't like her. But I think she's a more interesting character than she gets credit for. Because especially this movie is like, it's a Chris Columbus movie. He made Home Alone. I think he came at this like, I'm making a goofy kids movie. And it works. And I like it. But I like the character of Aunt Petunia because it's sort of like her attitude informs Harry Potter's life in such a major way, where she had this rivalry with her sister and like there was a lot of jealousy that she wasn't, you know, perceived to be as special as her sister was. And that kind of derails the first 10 years of her nephew's life.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I feel like she has like a weird amount of power over this story. And even though you only sort of see her being like, meh, 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 like she sort of is kind of like an inciting person in how the whole series goes.
Yeah,
just
totally.
Kind of, which is interesting. I was just like, would I rather like actively? It sounds exhausting making an adorable child miserable for 10 years, like over like. Well, he's important in this area of the world that I don't have to associate with if I don't want to. Why not just let him go? But I mean, that speaks to how mad she was, probably.
Yeah. Oh wow, yeah. Because I often wonder, like, why wouldn't you just like?
It wasn't like they were going to come into contact with that.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like they ever would have had to.
No.
So weird because maybe perhaps there's like some female rivalry, which I mean, with sisters is more, I mean, that just happens.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's strange she would keep that rivalry up for her dead sister, though,
who died in a pretty brutal way.
Yeah, that's, kind of weird that she wouldn't be like, oh, okay, well, shoot, you know, let me, you know, put a bookmark in this and like not. She was just like, oh, yeah. And by the way, I'm also going to fuck up your kid's life, too.
Right. That's intense.
You know, in principle.
Are there any, like, twists with her later in the series or, like, where it turns out?
I don't remember. You find out something about how she agreed to protect Harry so that, like, Voldemort could never find him at their house.
So she did something noble.
Something.
So it seems like she would have had to, because otherwise, like, That's like, I can't imagine anyone having that level of anger after their sibling is like brutally murdered.
It's like, she's like cartoonishly bitter.
Indignant.
About it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, will kind of waste her own life making a point to someone who has been dead for 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
She's such a cuck on the other side too, because she is so ran over by her son. She is such a cuck. I'm like, like you're just letting everybody else. Is it a thing of like, oh, well, my kid is a piece of shit, so I'm going to take that out on. Because she doesn't seem like she has much power over Vernon
Who
Dursley.
Only, the way this movie is stylized, especially at the very beginning, it looks like Chris Columbus thinks he's like adapting a Roald Dahl book because it's very goofy.
Yeah.
Every shot of Uncle Vernon is like he's like mugging in some way, like and like it's so funny because the series does get so dark later until the point where the whole like the movies are 3 hours long and like blue. But the first, I don't know, that's part of why I like this movie because it's like there is like a levity to it that there isn't to the others, but. The family at the beginning, especially, like, they're just cartoon characters.
It was very much like Matilda.
Right. Yeah.
Like
that's
that
what it
scene with
me
all
of.
Of the letters. I was like, this is that scene in Matilda.
It's where DeVito and Matilda. We should do a Matilda episode.
Okay. We haven't talked about the most important female character in the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Norris, the cat. Just kidding, but she holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Because she's a cat. Also, she does things. She's like, I'm going to run and you have to run away from me so you don't get in trouble. And then that's what leads them to the corridor on the third floor where they find Fluffy the three-headed dog, and that's how they figure out the whole thing.
True.
So Mrs. Norris, more important than we give her credit for.
I'm with it. Yeah. I like her. And
that's my hot take on the cat.
Hot cat take.
Pussy takes with Caitlin.
Which, speaking of dogs, both Fluffy the three-headed dog and Fang, Hagrid's dog, we mustn't forget that we need to say dogs out. Like hogs out. But dogs out.
But
dogs out.
Hagrid, you're a pervert. Don't take your hog out. You will be placed under arrest. It is amazing watching that movie. Why would you let a child be alone with that person? I don't. Now we're going to be getting emails about size shaming. He's very scary. He's scary. And they're like, he's a gentle giant. I think maybe we should stop talking to kids about gentle giants so much. They seem sort of like outliers versus perverts who want to eat you.
Dumbledore trusts him with his life.
Mm-hmm.
He gets all the important tasks, even though he also manages to fuck everything
up. Dumbledore, the old man who constantly puts children in grave danger. Let's listen to his recommendation.
Yeah. He's like, I trust Hagrid with my life. Meanwhile, Hagrid's like, sure, I'll take this dragon egg and let me just tell you all the secrets about how to get past my three-headed dog, stranger in a bar whose face I never saw.
Oh, he's blabbermouth.
He's a drunk.
Mental.
He's an alcoholic. He's an alcoholic.
He was always like, oh, I shouldn't have told you that.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to keep his mouth shut.
Look at his life, though. Look at his life. Lives in a tiny shack with an assortment of animals. His only friends are
children.
Yeah. Seems a little sad. And at this point in the movie, he's like a janitor. He's not a teacher.
Right.
Yet. He's a teacher.
In fact,
later.
He got expelled from Hogwarts. He can't even do magic. He still does it.
He gets off the sauce. When he gets a job as a teacher.
Maybe.
When you lay off the butterbeer.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, the butterbeer, which is basically just, what is that at Universal Studios? It's basically cream soda with like butterscotch flavoring.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Oh,
I hate it.
I will not buy it.
I mean, people like it. I prefer pumpkin juice. If you're going to go to Universal and get a Harry Potter drink, all about the pumpkin juice.
Cool.
So that's just another hot take from Caitlin. Let's go.
Okay.
I have a few days left on my season pass.
I'm going on Sunday.
How many more days?
End of June. But I have a few blackout days on the weekend.
Okay, just let me know.
Let's figure this out.
I guess we should go.
Do you have any final thoughts you want to say about the movie, the portrayal of women in the movie?
I do want to bring up one more because she was kind of a background character, but she provided the biggest magic of all. That's Harry's mom. Mm.
She provided the
biggest magic of all, which is like
who we do see in flashbacks. I forget, but we see her in flashbacks.
But that's why Harry was able to like win is because she gave him the best magic, which was punk ass love.
But
you know, still that was like she essentially was the hero of. Or the catalyst behind his heroism. So I found that.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
He's only the famous celebrity Harry Potter because she sacrificed. Which, why are women sacrificing themselves for men?
Women be sacrificing their bodies. She appears in the mirror too, right?
Right.
She's just like.
In the mirror and the little photo book that Hagrid gives him at the end. She pops up all over the place.
Yeah. And Hagrid's a weird pervert.
Took these pictures of you and your family.
He's like, don't flip to page 7.
My thumb's in one of them.
Moving on the side.
Oh my God.
Still alive.
That's great. Let's talk about whether or not the movie passes the Bechdel test.
Okay.
So there is one scene that I think is a candidate for a pass.
That we did not catch the first time.
Right. I had to rewatch it again. And I was like, wait a minute. There's the scene after they've defeated the troll in the girls' bathroom. Professor McGonagall comes in. She's like, what's all this? Oh, my God. You guys could have been killed. Hermione steps forward and says, it's my fault, Professor McGonagall. I went looking for the troll. I'd read about them and thought I could... Thank you. Yeah. I'd read about them and thought I could handle it. I was wrong. If Harry and Ron hadn't saved me, I'd probably be dead.
She says Harry and Ron.
And then, right. And then Professor McGonagall replies, and she's just like, I expected more rational thinking from you. I'm really disappointed in you. I can't believe this. 5 points from Gryffindor.
Yeah, first of all, fucking 5 points.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
More.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very arbitrary. There seems to be
extremely. There's like, or like, there's like very crazy point inflation later in the movie.
Yeah. Or at the
toward the end of the year, they're like, 1,000 points to you for this.
Dumbledore's
like
manipulator.
100 points.
Give me some chips. 1,200 points.
Dumbledore manipulates children. He's like, hey, Slytherins, you won. Just kidding, bitch. Like, I was like, they're 11. Why would you do that? You're 800 years old. Like, that's so mean.
You didn't have to do it that way.
What if your grandpa did that to you? It was like, Jamie's my favorite. Actually, just kidding. Literally, everyone else is my favorite. Like, that's so mean.
I would argue that you got to start manipulating people young so that they can get used to it when they're an adult. Because people are always going to manipulate you. These kids need practice.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Voldemort manipulated people into following him. Mm-hmm. So you got to be prepared. You got to know, like, how not to be.
But they're like, you can now win an Academy Award and then lose it. And now you know how it feels. You
right.
know, he moonlighted those kids.
So, like, what is a worse pain than that?
Yeah. So, wait. Oh,
those kids got Miss Columbia'd.
Wait.
Yeah,
okay. Wait. So, in this analogy, Slytherin was La La Land, mm-hmm. which, if there's ever been a more Slytherin movie than La La Land,
right.
pointed out to me because, bleh, and Moonlight was Gryffindor. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the alternate Dumbledore is Steve Harvey. And then I forget the two other countries. But Dumbledore is Steve Harvey.
Right. Got the same lace front weave.
Do they ever say that Dumbledore's white? Because maybe they should have cast Steve Harvey as Dumbledore. What a different series it would be. It would be awesome. That was like what Steve Harvey was like remembered for mainly.
Oh
that would
my
be
God.
So
Wait.
Great. That would be so great.
I just watched The Wiz for the first time.
Okay.
Please, can there be another adaptation of Harry Potter where it's an all-black cast?
Oh my God! Yes! Yes! Please! And whoever's listening, please hire me to do it.
Yeah!
I will work for cheap. I will tell SAG whatever you need me to tell them. I'll work all day and all night. Partial nudity. I'll show you some shoulder.
Oh, that would be
so good.
Oh, yes.
I'd do all my own stunts, too.
Hell yeah.
I have my own broom.
What?
You're
this can happen. Let's do this. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh man.
So
I love that.
We were talking about if this movie passes the Bechdel test or not.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of hard to tell because Hermione does mention Harry and Ron in that line of dialogue.
Yeah.
However, that's not really what the conversation is about. She's taking the blame for them too.
I don't think it passes because the men are. Or the boys are like integral to that conversation.
You could argue that it's like she's talking about being able to defeat a troll and she failed, but
she's taking the blame for two boys.
That's the that's the reason why I don't take, because she could have just said like I was here taking a monstrous shit.
It's unclear why she even feels the need to cover for them anyway. Mm. I don't get why that happens.
Yeah.
I think possibly
because in the context of the scene, they put themselves in danger on her behalf and maybe she felt guilty about it.
Mm.
I could see that way. But that scene doesn't pass for me. And also just the fact that there had to be this much discussion to reach any sort of conclusion is just like, well,
it
could have done better. There's female characters right. around.
And then there are only, I think, two other scenes where there are women together in the room who might have had an opportunity to talk, but it doesn't happen. There's another scene where Professor McGonagall and Hermione I think they're in her office after she has found them, like, lurking outside of the castle.
They are lurking a lot.
They
spend a good hour lurking.
Children be lurking. And she's like, you guys get detention. But I don't think Hermione even speaks in that scene. It's mostly Harry and Professor McGonagall talking. And then later in the movie, whenever they're like, we need to talk to Dumbledore. Someone's trying to steal the Chamber of Secrets. What is this movie? The Sorcerer's Stone.
And yeah, what's the operative prop in this one?
Like that one.
Yeah. I mean, the first four, it's Harry Potter and this prop. Harry Potter in a rock. Harry Potter in a cave.
Room.
Harry Potter in a building. Harry Potter in a cup. He's a prop comedian. He's a prop comedian and a magician. I'm triggered.
Anyway, in that scene, also, she's like, Dumbledore's not here. He's in London for the Ministry of Magic.
Right.
Again, Hermione doesn't say anything. So, surprisingly few opportunities for women to even talk in the movie. It's a symptom of the problem of storytellers not feeling the need to just make more of the characters women. There's so many, like, of the male characters, we've got Harry, Ron, Dumbledore, Hagrid, Draco, Neville Longbottom, Snape, Quirrell, Voldemort, and then, like, secondary and tertiary characters like Oliver Wood, the Weasley, the other brothers, Flitwick, Nearly Headless Nick, the centaur man in the woods, and then, really, of the main female characters, it's Hermione and Professor McGonagall.
Right.
And that's pretty much it. There's Madame Hooch, she says a few lines. Aunt Petunia has a bit of a role in the story, but like they never intersect with other female characters, or they rarely do.
I would be interested, and maybe there are, we have listeners who are hardcore enough Harry Potter fans, I'm sure this exists out there somewhere, but I'd be interested in how that evolves over from like movie to movie, from story to story, and then eventually from, I guess, director to director, because this one doesn't pass. I would imagine, because I think the second movie is kind of the same exact team as the first movie, if it does pass, probably not by that much. But it's, I don't know. I mean, it's not, nothing's going to make me rewatch these movies. But I'd be interested to know.
We see much more of Mrs. Weasley in the second movie.
That's true, yeah.
We see, of the new professors, it's the fucking Gilderoy Lockhart. So he's a dude.
Oh, handsome.
Handsome
cuck.
Guy who can't do anything. Yeah. Mediocre as fuck.
Actor. UCB 101. Gilderoy Lockhart.
Yeah, I'd have to really... Let's just do all the Harry Potter movies.
Thank you.
For another episode.
Absolutely, because I have strong opinions, and I can think of some scenes from like later ones where I'm like... This would totally pass the Bechdel test.
Right.
But
for
it's
sure.
Not until like book seven. You
right.
Know.
For sure, the Umbridge movie, that's got to pass because she's in so much of it. And I feel like, do her and McGonagall like have it out at some point? Or like, I don't know.
Aristotle's given us a. I think I just accidentally like called you Aristotle.
Aristotle.
Aristotle. You should go by Harry for short. Harry Potter. Okay.
Oh, Harry Stottle.
Don't make
Harry
him do Stottle.
That. He doesn't deserve it. In a good way.
Right.
And then Harry Stottle's better than Harry Potter. Hot take.
I agree though. Let's rate the movie on our nipple scale. We rate the movie on a scale of 0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of women. I would say I'm gonna give it 3 or 3.5. I'll skew down to a 3 because I think it could have done a better job, especially considering it was adapted from source material written by a woman. I don't know why she didn't include, of the female characters that there are, a lot of them are, yes, they're strong characters. They are well developed, but there's just not enough of them that contribute that much to the story. Hermione is great, and I think, as we've agreed, she has more bearing on the story than Ron, who is virtually useless. But man, I'm gonna get so many tweets. People are like, Ron, I love Ron, would you hate Ron so much?
Ron's useless. He's garbage.
Yes. And I just wish that the gender balance was more equal. Like, why aren't there more female characters who are contributing more to the story? That might improve down the road. But at least for this first movie, I'm going to go with the 3 nipples. The nipples belong, 2 of them I love giving having a nipple belong to an animal. So two of them belong to the three-headed dog Fluffy. So it's got some fluffy nipples.
Okay.
And then okay. the third one, it belongs to the centaur, whose nipples we do see.
Whose nipple? Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's shirtless. Mm-hmm. You yeah. can see his big horse dick and...
We see his
nipples, his human nipples.
We see that half horse hog. I'm going to piggyback it on you. I agree with three because similar reasons. There are not really any female characters that we are actively introduced, minus fucking Susan Bones. But like almost every female character we're introduced to is strong, is a professional, or at least has enough of a background that you understand where they're coming from, mm-hmm. which is all you can ask out of a character. They're not, you know, they're not all going to be fucking Wonder Woman badass bitches, but we know where they're coming from, their characters.
Right.
That, I feel like, is pretty impressive for any movie, but they don't talk to each other. And I think another positive thing you could say for this movie is that women are not actively punished in the way I think women in major movies often are, just because they are women and around. But again, that is not a trophy or an accomplishment. That's right. just something that you wouldn't
should
see.
Default to, but movies right. can't even manage to default to that.
Right, like movies that came out 10 years after that, movies that came out fucking yesterday, still can't pull it off right. a lot of the time. So that's good. But three nipples, because they didn't talk to each other enough. I give two of the nipples to Dumbledore, but Steve Harvey Dumbledore. And then I'll give my last nipple to Ron's rat.
Scabbers.
Yeah, Scabbers.
Oh, yeah, who turns out
Peter
to be
Pettigrew.
Who turns out to be that British character actor who's in every movie.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. So three.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would give a three. I was leaning to 3.5 nipples mm-hmm. because of the strong female characters mm-hmm. that were an important part of the story, but their inclusion in the story was what gave them that ceiling. I didn't like that they didn't talk to each other. I didn't like that Hermione didn't have other I can't even off the top of my head be like, oh yeah, this other woman is a Gryffindor, or oh, I've seen, you know, other Gryffindors sitting around, like I've seen other male Gryffindors sitting around. It was just an emphasis on men with strong female characters sprinkled in,
and men's like relationships, like all the bonds apart from his bond with Hermione. Most of the like relationships in the movie is Harry and Hagrid, Harry yeah. and Dumbledore's budding.
Harry and Ron spend Christmas together.
Right.
And see, and that's
yeah. very intimate.
But there's just no,
so British. Happy Christmas, Harry.
Happy Christmas, Ron.
Real British. But yeah, 3.5.
Wizards be celebrating Christian holidays.
Here's some Christian witches out there. Let's see who we get these nipples. I would give the half nipple is Miss Norris.
Cool.
Because a very small meow. Kitty yeah. nipple.
Kitties have 8 nipples, as we recently
oh, really?
Learned. Yeah. Okay. From the line.
Yeah, no, Kaylin and I captured a stray cat and counted.
Yes, that's how
Wait,
we found
Wait, what was
out.
The movie we learned that
from? The Wizard of Oz, because I was like, right. the Cowardly Lion, how many nipples do cats have? And 8 is the number. 6 to 8.
Well, she can get 1.5.
Yeah.
All right. 1.5
cool.
nip.
Cool, cool.
And then another nipple goes to Professor Flitwick. Is he the one who was decorating the Christmas tree? He
yes.
gets one because yeah. I really feel like he's seen some stuff out there. And another nip goes to, you know what? I'm going to give this nip to Snape.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Snape doesn't get a lot of love.
Right.
You get to have a nipple, and his is perky.
Oh, good.
It would be. That's why his robes are so flowy. Mm-hmm. His nips are hard all at times.
Just the one nip. Yes. Real hard and just...
So I like
earned
it.
You earned it.
I like it.
Rest in peace, Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Great.
Very true. Very
well,
true.
Maggie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a blast.
Thank
it's
you
been,
so much.
I would say, even magical.
Thank you.
Where can people find you online?
I'm on Twitter. At Maggie May, haha. And that's M-A-Y-E is May. I got a Facebook page out there. I'm on Craigslist sometimes looking for a dresser.
Great. Hit up Maggie on Craigslist if you've got a dresser.
Let me know about it. I'm on some magic apps you muggles wouldn't know anything about.
Yeah.
So y'all wouldn't know anything about that. Y'all don't know about Magic App. Y'all on Magic App? No? Okay, don't worry about it then. So, but you can find me on Twitter. I'll be there.
You can follow us on Twitter at BechdelCast. You can follow us on Instagram at BechdelCast. Mm-hmm. You can email us at thebechdelcast@gmail.com.
There's a Facebook page.
We've got a Facebook page too. Also called the BechdelCast.
We're everywhere. No reason to not hang out with us.
Right.
We go to bingo a lot. We go to bingo on Wednesday nights sometimes if we're not busy.
Right.
That sounds fun though.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah, we went last week. It was nice.
I'll go. Shoot.
You should come.
I won't talk about any men either.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bingo.
Please come with us. Yeah. It'll be a blast. Let's be friends.
Yes.
I'm gonna say something really good to close out the episode.
Here it comes.
Avada
Kedavra.
Avada Kedavra.
Ah!
All right. Bye.
Bye.